don't want to look like a bad person. So that's why then I struggled really to continue to resist the temptation to start and finish here, so that it doesn't feel betrayed. You see, betrayed by a staff, whatever that means. We can just get organized and then and circled and all sorts of things, get our papers in front of us, then in 60 seconds we'll start. Sure, Mom Kenya will ask to phone back a little bit later. Honorable members, thanks for having agreed that we delay this meeting because we had to entertain other business in Parliament that affects our work, because we have processed the Refugee Amendment Bill, we have processed the Border Management Authority Bill, and they need to go through the processes in Parliament. And so one of the parliamentary activities was dealing with that today, and then we had to make sure that these expectations that we have about these two pieces of legislation happen the way we want, and we struggled, but still make it. We were of the opinion that both pieces of legislation will be going today in the House for us to go and fight them. But it looks like the earliest may be tomorrow or when we come back after recess. Whatever the powers that be have on these particular processes. So I think that's what we're making input in that particular decision making. And we hope that our input will be considered taking decisions when those particular bills goes into the House, the programming committee and the rest. And then today I think we are we have invited the department to come and entertain us on the annual performance plan only. And we agreed, I think we spoke to them. They believe that even if we start at 10:15, it may not be a train smash. Now that even one of our bills have been removed from this afternoon's order paper, then we don't have additional pressure. Because we're going to have pressure of actually finishing this meeting, go and prepare what we are going to make noise about in the House at 2 o'clock. And then it was just a little bit, a bit of a pressure day today for some of us. And now some of the pressure things have been relieved and we can regain our normality. And then from the department, I think we have we have the DG is here, and then we have got Umavuso, the DDG, then we have got the financial officer, Olambi, then we have got DDG Umkize, then you have got Riaz Musa is here, Sam is here, and then there is Rian, but the same name of something is for the first time. Pio. Is that Italian? Yeah. Okay. I hope. But I just hope that you are not related to Palazzolo. You know, they say that. Remember that. I think if you followed Palazzolo, I'm sure he was number 10 in the world of the Italian mafias. So that's what the articles have been saying. And that's why I'm just praying that he's not connected to him. Otherwise, we have got danger in our hands. Okay, now welcome, Pio. I hope that you are going to make our life a lot more interesting in South Africa. You know, it's because you are working in one of the departments that has got interest in anyone that is working on our land. Anyone that is working, together with those that are tired of working. So then you can imagine the kind of the number of millions of people that the department is worried about. And everybody has got a complaint about Home Affairs. Everybody, even yourself. You have got a complaint about Home Affairs. Because it affects almost the whole of your life. If you want to move, if you want to go to school, you want to go and bank, you want to go and withdraw, you can imagine when you have banked about 50,000 rand in the bank, the day you want to go and draw it, then they want something that comes from Home Affairs, otherwise you won't get it. So that is the kind of a department that we have in front of us, and that's why we are praying every day that it must be taken with the seriousness it deserves. Because we have got the capacity of closing the country and make the country stand still. If somebody just simply goes to the ID documents and just block all of them. When you go to that, then it's not open. Then the whole South Africa then will stop. Passports will stop. So this is the kind of department that we want our cabinet and some of our colleagues in other departments to really take this department very seriously. and because it's a department that makes South Africa actually work, exist and work. So it's from members, I think we've got apologies from Honorable Dambuza, Honorable Mnisi, Honorable Melder, and then we have got Honorable Sope. I think she's participating in an ad hoc committee that deals with gender issues or gender representation or membership. And then also we have S.J. Nkomo, who is on her way. And she's not here, she's not around, but is a person that is actually trying to come here. So we can take that as an apology to this meeting, because if she's still in Durban, then there is no way that she can attend this meeting, unless if the IFP has developed the capacity to hire a chopper for her to be here. Otherwise, if she uses ordinary commercial aircraft, then she may not make it to this particular meeting. So it's thanks on that, and honorable members, I think just some housekeeping issues. I think we were invited into a conference which is going to happen on Saturday in Johannesburg Center. And you remember last week that we agreed that members must indicate to Eddie on the availability. I hope that we have done so. And although that Eddie has struggled to find some of you over the weekend to actually give some pertinent information for him to be able to lodge documents yesterday, but I hope that everything should be fine. But let's understand that there is a standing order from the offices of the House Chairs that once you go on a trip paid by Parliament, and somewhere along the line then you change flights, then you change at your cost, all sorts of things. And who advised them to make that rule, and then I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that it was explained sometimes that there were certain certain members who will change from one airliner to the other, you know, is while they are straight in the oversight trip. And then some of the airliners, when you change from one to the other, then there are administrative costs. And so the House Chairs were having a big problem there, that while they may be prepared and approved to spend about 300,000 rand on a trip, but at the end of the day when they reconcile the expenditures, they find that it's 450. There is additional 100,000 of people changing. Even accommodation, you know, you find that you are booked in Holiday Inn, then you go there, and then you find that you want to go to Southern Sun, and then next door, and then you move there, but still they have to pay the other hotel that they have booked for you, because they have reserved it for you. And then actually is to avoid unintended costs that are not known, because the when they happen, they actually deplete our own budget. And then the next time, then we start fighting them that, no, we want money for another oversight trip. Then it says, no, there's no money, you have depleted. So I think they're trying to manage that. So, of course, that there will be other situations that forces certain things to happen that is beyond control. And probably will always make some representation. But know that if you just change your flight on your own, or just because you are just late and then the flight goes, you miss it, and then now because there is no another flight in that direction other than another airliner, then know that you may end up footing the bill. Thanks. I think I've just talked a lot of things that you did not want to hear, and ordinarily there must be some other people that say some of the things that we don't want to hear. Otherwise life won't be interesting. Okay. I know that I tried to take a decision on your behalf, because you are saying that you cannot access you, and they had to do and try to finalize some documents. You can speak.
Thank you so much for the explanation. Just to make a sort of establish so on my side, because I'm flying from Islala to Cape, from Joburg to Islala using Kulula, but it's not my own making. Am I going to pay? Thank you.
No, I'm not sure, because I think yours, you are still wanting to submit the proposal. Yeah, the proposal that how you're going to travel. And then there was that particular problem that for you to leave the conference in an SAA flight, then you had to leave almost early. And then now the only one that's appropriate that would actually allow you to participate in the conference and then was the Kulula one. Yes, because I think it was leaving at the past 3. Yeah, 5 to 3, yes. And then I said, because he was not able to get hold of you, and he had to finish that. And then I said, at least must provide for you to leave with the one for 5 to 3, rather than the one that you leave even before we start anything on Saturday. So it is not your cost. This is the direct proposal. That is how it's going to be. The only challenge will be when come Saturday, then you don't want to travel with Kulula. Then you say you want to go at 6 o'clock with SAA. Then you'll be causing a lot of problems. Okay. Thank you very much. And is there anything that can be... Honorable Member, I think the other thing as well is we need to finalize this one. That one of the visit to Germany. Because it is no longer possible now, because it was supposed to be this very week. And then, like as I said, on the basis of a short time left to deal with the logistics, then we'll need to be assisted to actually get another date, maybe some 2 months from now. Because if it is more than 2 months, then we're going to find ourselves there in winter. What's that? What's that? I don't know. It's more summer. Yes. No, that is because it's going to be fine now. Yes. But we need to be assisted. It's honorable members just to think properly. And then we'll also try. I think the program will be out today. The framework of the program. And then we'll identify a week. What? Honourable members, I think it looks like AJ has already received the framework of the program, and then it's of the opinion that the week of 19 to 30th of June, it is an oversight week. And then do we need to make arrangements for that particular week and see whether we can skip the border of this country? I think it's last term. Not this term. Not this term. Yes. Okay. I think if you agree, I can guess that honorable members from the ANC, they will never be opposed to you. Because the way you are so cooperative. Honorable Gumede.
We don't have a problem.
Yeah, I think then we'll just simply look at its implication. Of course, is that you'll know that the biggest party in the country will be having a policy conference somewhere around there at the end of June. Then it will just make sure that the timing of the visit and coming back then doesn't frustrate those that represent us in that policy conference. Because we have to be in that policy conference, because that's where we speak about this country. Yeah. But thank you very much. And then I think on that score, we'll then ask the DG. The DG then to speak to us. If he has got a bioscope, then they can play the bioscope as well.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, no thanks, Chair. And we will try accommodate you, as you said, that you started somewhere. We are really pleased by the starting. You don't have a problem that we're starting at 4:15, so we are happy with that. So we'll try and try to gain the time as we present. Chair, I will add the slides which are known by the committee. I will be more skipping them, because what we are interested on is to brief committee more on the 2017-18 priorities. So, Chair. Oh, thanks, Chair. As I said, now the aim of the presentation is really to present the 2017-18 outcomes and what the budget which we have to support that, and as well looking for the guidance from the committee as they used to do. Chair, as I said, the issue of vision, mission, mandate and values has not changed. And then our contribution to the NDP, Chair, we've been presenting this, has not changed. And then in terms of the MTSF, which now is ending in 2019, so it means now 17-18 is now the fourth year before now we finish on the 18-19. But in terms of that, the target is that the BMA has to be established and operational in 2017-18. And then the integrated border management strategy has to be developed, implemented to defend, protect, secure, and so well manage borders by 2018-19. And then we need to be registering 74% of births occurred, or 810 of all births must be captured within 30 days. And the only one, Chair, which is post the current administration is the NIS. It was understood that NIS will take us longer, so it will go to the 1920. And then 100% of all designated ports of entry equipped with biometrics by 2018-19, immigration and refugee bill submitted to Parliament for approval on 2018-19. This, Chair, links with the white paper, as we are saying now that there will be a conference on the 17-18th. Is what we're dealing with is right now. We still take those processes now to, by that time, we must have the new Immigration and Refugee Act. Then in terms of the decent employment, we have to open 3 DHA premium visa and permanent services centers for corporate accounts and for their families must be opened. And then 85% of critical skills visa adjudicated within 4 weeks for applications process within RSA. And then on an efficient, effective and developer-oriented public service, the target which was there was the establishment of DSA Conduct Center, which has already been done. And then now on this issue of social protection and social cohesion and national building, in the MTSF, there is no target which was given for Home Affairs. Maybe in the next administration, there would be something now coming there. However, we do contribute, as Chair, we have already said, by giving people enabling documents and access to systems like in the Department of Social Development. Then, Chair, we wanted now to link what is the MTSF strategic framework, as I've indicated, what is the minister's priorities of the 2014-19 and what are our targets in the 17-18? How could you respond on that? So basically, so if you look at that, when we say NYSERS, now SA Board has effectively defended, protected, secured on the MTSF. And then now based on the outcome, what has been the target now for us is to say now a border management must be established and operational in 2017, and then that integrated border management strategy and immigration refugee. So what was the minister's priority? Was to say establishment of an effective BMA. What we'll be doing now in the 17-18, we'll want to have a BMA roadmap approved by the minister. So what would be in the roadmap is what will be detailing now clearly to say once the bill have been approved in parliament for both houses, signed by the president into law, what we'll be doing now in the 17-18, that's what it will be covered under that. And then also now will be implementation of the now integrated border management strategy, which have action plans of various organs of state, because now at the border for now we're operating as various organs of state. And then now that, so now in terms of the refugee bill, what I was saying, it will be a comprehensive review of immigration policy, which was minister's priority. So we're saying now by that year we'll be now making sure that immigration and refugee bill is approved by minister for submission to cabinet. And then now on the issue of registration of birth, when we say now it's completion under minister's one of the modernization program, it's because for us now to move on that, want to automate the BMT, so we're still going to come back, we're going to be registered, but for this year, we'll still be registering 750 births within 30 days. And then on the national identity system, which is linked again with complete the modernization program, we say now citizenship and amendment processes developed onto life capture. So now in the 17-18, we'll be now completing the civics, because now in the 16-17 we did the BMT, it will be starting to be rolled out next year, and then in the 17 now we're developing now citizenship and amendment process. Once we've done that, in the front office now, you won't find a paper process for Home Affairs, everything will be automated. And then the thing which we'll be also working on is this AFIS, which is Automated Fingerprint Identification System. There will be a report now which will be signed off for that process. But when I come now to our quarterly targets on these issues, we'll explain exactly what we'll be doing. And then the other thing which we'll be doing now is the mobile solution. Chair, there's always that question of when we'll be stopping the green ID book. So we are saying now, yes, some of the offices cannot be able to take the new infrastructure for processing of this smart card passport on a live capture, but now we'll be having a mobile solution now, which will be going to schools, it will be going to where grants are paid, and all that's going to facilitate now that process. So we'll want by next year to have these 9 offices. Then now we're talking about the full biometric scope now are piloted at one port of entry. Currently, we have implemented a pilot at OR Tambo, Lanseria, Kingshaka, and OR Tambo. And then also border posts have already started, Bay Bridge, Maseru Bridge, Kopfontein, Oshook, when now we're implementing that pilot. But what this one now means, or different to other ones, this one now, Chair, will be linking now with all the systems. Once now you go to a border post, you put your fingerprint, it will be able to go and check on the AFIS which we're talking about. Oh, are you there? It checks you. It goes to the one which we're managing the refugees, or you have applied for an asylum seeker, you put your finger. He says, so it will be checking across right now. If you've got our passport and all that. So that is what we'll be implementing now in this year. Then after we've done that, it will be fascinating. The last project, which we still have to be dealing with it, but again, in the 18-19, what is this trusted traveler? So that for countries like Basotho, Swaziland, more in particular those ones who are around us, it's not necessary to always stamp their passport like what we're doing now. We'll have what we call the trusted traveler, because in the NPR of Lesotho and ours will be linked. You put your finger, it says, no, you are a Basotho, you've got this passport. You put your finger and it opens the gate and it goes. So that's what we'll be doing with that. Then the white paper is what will be, as we know by now, we'll be submitting to cabinet to be approved by end of March. Then again, following that, again, I will be dealing again now with the white paper now for the repositioning was submitted. I'm not considering the two now. Remember, the repositioning paper has already been approved by the cabinet last week. And then now we are going now to come up with a white paper for this thing of home affairs. We have its own act and all that. That's what we'll be doing now next year. Then in terms of now the 100% designated ports of entry equipped with biometrics, so what we're saying now then, that full biometrics, as I said, will be piloted now in one port of entry, and then the BID documents are there now for us to approve the six ports of entry. So when I deal with the quarter, you will see, Chair, what we'll be doing now on this in terms of the process of developing those big ports, that is Big Bridge, Maseru Bridge, Ficksburg, Oshoek, Lebombo, and Kopfontein. So those six ports now will be revamped completely in terms of the infrastructure which is there. Then the issue now of the three premium visa centers, now we are targeting that 80% of critical skills visa will be adjudicated within 4 weeks of the application. So we are already at that level. Then another issue which we look at is really how we can improve client experience in our offices through this Metapile. We're still targeting to train managers on issues of customer care, how to service people and all that. So it's split into junior, middle and senior management. So having done that, we want now to share with the committee how do we see Home Affairs at the end, not now looking now but going to the future, so that when we are dealing with these things, it's how we want to see Home Affairs at the end. I think we shared this with the committee, that but we want to ensure that we've got Home Affairs will manage a national identity system, which I've already been explaining even on our repositioning paper, that NIS must have a capability of keeping the information of both nationals and foreign nationals, and must be able to link with other government departments like ABOSAS, driver's license, and NHI, and it must be at the heart of security, service delivery, and efficient state. We're saying we want to look at immigration, which is used strategically and securely to achieve national and regional goals, and the documentation and legitimate visitors are facilitated rapidly. So the white paper on international migration is working on that, which the committee will have an opportunity during this weekend to go and listen and debate and provide guidance on what are the proposals in there. We still believe that as Home Affairs, we still need patriotic, professional, and human officials that can adequately protect the security and integrity of its people, systems, services, and infrastructure. That's why now on the repositioning of Home Affairs, one of the issues we're talking about there is to have a capability of able to vet our officials at our own Because if we don't do that, we're only dependent on SSA. It gives us some challenges for us. And the matter of status of asylum seekers is securely, humanely, and efficiently determined, and refugees assisted in a coordinated way by the state and the NGOs. As Chair, we know now in the past month or so, when we had problems in the country around the issues of foreign nationals, if now we don't deal with this thing in a manner it's supposed to be, it will always create that problem. But in the white paper, there's a whole chapter about how we want to manage this issue of asylum seekers. And we still need a model that will ensure sustainable funding of Home Affairs with a net gain to fiscals to reduce corruption and increase efficiency. We did, Chair, in your opening, address the issue of funding of Home Affairs. So the repositioning paper deals with this matter to say Home Affairs needs to collect the revenue, and the revenue which we have collected must be invested in the department and be able to deal with these things with a view of really reducing issues of corruption and fraud. Then, Chair, what we are saying now, there's to say, you know, when we say now we want the, our focus areas, so the areas which we want to really pay attention to them so that we're not all over the place. So the issue of establishment of the BMA is really, really a matter which we want to focus with it, which we're really happy, as we said in the last committee meeting, and that the Portfolio Committee for Home Affairs has finalized as the bill. So because we are saying without this BMA, it really, really, really put the country at risk as far as the porous borders. Last week, there was a march now by SATAU, raising the problems of illegal goods in the country, how it is closing the factories and all that. So it's something which, you know, said because we don't implement more enforcement at the border and environment. So we're saying, you know, our focus, as we said now, would be the finalization of the BMA legislation, the launch of the BMA and approval of the blueprint and the roadmap for the operation of the BMA. Now we're starting to segment now what we're talking about. So BMA will champion the implementation of an integrated border management strategy. Chairperson, it was very interesting when we're listening at the cause of the haste at OR Tambo. If we're listening to the media, the issue was who must be held accountable. It says they couldn't go and ask, you ask police, they respond up to whatever level. You ask security, respond up to a particular level. You ask the cargo people, respond up to a particular problem. But if you are the BMA, you will go and ask one entity, what is happening? How can this thing not be controlled? So for now, no one can be actually hold accountable for what, but 24 million rand gone. So that's what we're talking about with this BMA, and since people are not understanding us more, those are not issues of revenue. That's not revenue, it's what customs which we're talking about. And then, Chair, in terms of repositioning now of DHA, as we said that we really reimagine DHA as a model, digital, secure custodian of national identity, responding to the present, future needs and circumstances run by professionals. And then I was saying, you know, here when we went to cabinet, we're having a process of going through a green paper and all that. The proposal was, no, it's going to take long. So we have to come with a white paper now on this part. Okay, when I break it down again per quarter, what we'll be doing. It is still a challenge for us, this matter of the birth registration. So what we have done, so we'll be getting a report together with the Department of Monitoring and Planning. We have joined in a process of evaluating why people are not registering birth within 30 days. So we are expecting to get that report back. Once we get it, we really want to look at it, and then it will help us to come up with a process of why or what are the things which must we do differently in order to register this bird. But I will come back on the numbers which you are currently having on this matter, but it's something which we want to put a focus on it. Tapile initiative, we say services of Home Affairs, we can't get them from anywhere. So that should make us a sleepless night to say how do we ensure that people are able to get those services. It's not gives us a competitive advantage. Actually, it should make us to make sure that the way our staff behaves is to really deliver services to the people as we need. So the issue of our front and back office is something which we want to really pay attention to it. What we have picked it up now is that yes, we do improve processes at the front office, but now where people get frustration in particular with these issues of amendments is the back office, because now they don't get a proper support from the front. So it's something which we want to pay attention in it now to see what we can do. And the issue of looking at how our offices must look at, we really want to make sure that we continue to do these improvements in our front office, and as well as taking from what we've done now at Desmond to a project. So when I come to priorities, you'll see that there are another center which want to do better in the following year. So this one now is really looking at these offices now which are not modernized, because currently, as I said, we've got about 178 offices which have been modernized as against that number of about 400. So a lot are still not modernized, and the infrastructure there is not going to take us quickly to modernize. So we need to have a way of saying how can we deal with that, even if those offices are not modernized, to make sure that the back office is able to look at front offices, and as well as look at business processes in other areas like legal services. Then the matter of good governance and administration, Chair, we still want to persist by the issue of changing our audit outcome. Though it has been improved, but want to make sure that now we are getting out of those issues. So the emphasis will be really looking at putting necessary controls, establishing sound leadership and management practices, and look at adequate delegation of powers, and really still continue with building strong monitoring, which now based on what we have been achieving, we can see the results of that as we improve in terms of what we achieve per year in terms of our target. And as well continue to ensure the conducive working environment for our clients and as well as the staff. Then the white paper on the national migration, I've touched on this to say we launched it on 30th of June, and then now we are targeting to submit it by end of March. This weekend we'll be dealing with this matter, but those are the focus areas on the white paper. Is the management admissions of departures, we'll deal with that, residence, and how people they get naturalized, and how do we deal with international migrants, the skills. And then finally, with our South African expatriates, we never looked at people who have left the country. We're just saying good riddance, but now we're saying they are an investment into the country. We need to look at it. As I've said, that there's a whole chapter about the issue of asylum seekers and refugees. And then we'll also have to look at the integration process for international migrants who are acting as we go. So really, the 2017-18 now will be more on the drafting of the immigration and refugee bills for submission to cabinet. Challenges are still there, which is important to say all what we are doing, but there are still these matters which we need to deal with them. But we don't want just to say these are the challenges, but we try to say how we're going to be dealing with those issues. One of the biggest challenges is still the effective and efficient management of the asylum a safer and refugee environment. That is still a major issue, Chair, as we can't hide it. As we said, in the past month, we've been experiencing difficult issues in the country. Yes, we still want to continue now in terms of developing and implementing new policy and legislation to deal with the countries around the SADC. And then now we want to really emphasize this point that it can be a Home Affairs issue. This management of foreign nationals in our country should be an issue of the whole government and as well as the society. Because once we get into that level, then we can be able to deal with this. We still need to strengthen our capacity of the Refugees Appeals Board and Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs. And I still want to, now we'll be busy now even looking at building some of these refugee centers. So we want to look at the processes of PPPs, how we can help to do that. And Chair, it would be like we are a broken record on this issue of border environment. We always want to say it's one of the issues which we cannot take it off of our radar, but with the way we are looking at it. More special now, the last bullet that want to focus now on attention on law enforcement and operations. You'll see that in our targets, we have added now for the first time a target from the inspectorate. With the little number we have, but he said, whatever we have, let's put some target so that we can achieve that. Then the question is the issues of resources. It is still an issue for us, Chair. I know that the committee helped us to get CETA in one of the meetings. Even now, as this year, we've already met again with the Minister of Telecommunication. Still emphasizing the point that we really want to get out of CETA in terms of networks, or if now they can be able to get one service provider which must deliver the networks for us, not this piece which we have now that there are too many service providers mixing in the point and all that. But the issue of public works is still a matter for us, but we are in the repositioning of the department. Once now we've got our act, because Chair, even now for rental of our offices, we still have to go to public works, and the public works is the one who signs the lease agreement with the landlord. If things are not going right, we must go to the land, to public works, So we can't talk directly to the landlords who are dependent on public works. So it's something which we're clear in the repositioning of Home Affairs that issue must be addressed so that now we can be able to do things at our own. Because Home Affairs, as you said, Chair, will be here for life. There's no way that can have a time where there will be no Home Affairs. It will always be there. So why are we continuing renting? So we should have a strategy which is different for offices of Home Affairs. The issue of systems is still a problem for us, but we hope that with the implementation now of the NIS which we are looking at, it will be able now to help us to deal with that. Chair, the records management, yes, for people applying now, going forward on those offices which have got a live capture, information is automated. But the rest of other offices is still manual, and the other records which we have for all the years in the past. But we've started a process with the state of South Africa. They are now looking at capturing now those documents and be setting the system. But again, with the money we have, it's only about 10 million per annum, and we can only do about 5 million records per annum. But as a department, we're sitting with something well over 286 million records, because you can't destroy a single document in Home Affairs, because grandchildren can come back to Home Affairs and ask something. You can't say, you know, we destroyed it. We cannot do that. And the issue of capacity, is still an issue, but we will. So you remember last year, that is 2016-17, we couldn't fill a single post. But you know, for this year, there is a slide now which we added just to show that based on people who have resigned and prioritized, these are the number of posts which will be now to fill in the 2017-18. The issue of fight against unlawful activities, we still want to continue with this to really push back the frontiers of fraud and corruption. But our answer, Chair, is not really on how we arrest people and all that. We believe that if our processes can be automated, it eliminates the issues of fraud. You remember that the fraud was high at civics offices, but immediately automated, it shifted now to the borderline environment because there is still not completely automated. So by automating, now is when I'm able to close all these gaps. As we said, once people come with their fingerprint, whether you can't put now something on the passport because it's not going to open, because it's your fingerprint which must open the gate. So we're going to be eliminating those issues. As we said, that looking at really training our staff is something which we really is still a challenge, but with whatever we have is something which we want to look at. Then, Chair, we said it's important enough to say to the committee, we've been coming here with the APPs. They are not for compliance. We submit them, and we want to make sure that what we said we'll be achieving, we are achieving. So you'll recall that we started very low, but now 13-14 we're at about 53%, 14-15 we're at 70%, 15-16 we are at 81%. We still want to come with the 16-17. But what is important for us is to say the way that now we look at the targets, we make sure that they are really smart so that we want to achieve 100%. But what makes us to be
just
able...
Just before you proceed, DG.
Yes.
You haven't said anything about the government printer's bill. It is not within your radar.
Yes.
You're not worried about it or... because I thought that they were saying that it was in the minister's office and all sorts of plans and programs to actually get it rolling within cabinet. It's actually done. It's actually out of GPW. It is within the department and the ministry. But you are quiet.
Yes.
You are quiet. And I'm not sure whether... you don't want it to come to the play, or there are other decisions that have been taken about it. Just brief us just before you get to the next section that you want to get.
No, Chair, you'll recall, Chair, that GPW is also have to come and report to the committee. We didn't want to. Because that is their responsibility. Remember, that though they report to the minister, but it's not with us. So I know that there are processes around that. I think they will be coming when they come. I'm sure that when they are coming to the committee, but they've got a process of when that bill will be coming to the parliament.
You expect it to come within this particular financial year we are talking about.
No, thank you very much, Chair. The bill is finalized and will be going to cabinet in the next few weeks. The only thing that has happened is that it's not going to be obvious within the 16-17 financial year. It will probably come to the committee in the new financial year 17-18 once cabinet has approved it.
I'm just trying to get to this particular window you're talking about. Not 17-18. Are you talking about 18-19?
No, Chair. You'll recall that we are now left with a few months before the end of the 16-17, sort of two weeks actually, before the end of the 16-17 financial year.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that we have now submitted through legal services the bill to the minister for final consideration and sign off, and then we'll then submit the bill to cabinet. So once the cabinet process is finalized, then the minister will introduce the bill to parliament.
No, it is fine, because the work that we are doing now here, it is about that financial year we are speaking about.
Correct.
Now, is it normal that you don't speak about it yourself, and then you say now it's GPW that will speak about themselves? Because they necessarily don't exist in Kasekase without the Department of Home Affairs. I expected to hear something from yourself, that it is part of the things that you're going to entertain, whether you entertain from GPW or whatever. But I just wanted to hear from you. But if you feel that it is an exclusive area of GPW, is fine.
No, Chair, I mean, we can speak to the bill because we've got the information if Chair wishes so, but as DG has indicated, our view was that when GPW comes to present their APP, and then they will expand on the work that has been done in that space. Thank you, Chair.
We will make sure that when they come to present to the committee their strategy, their annual performance plan, they must be making sure that they will include that. Okay, thanks, Chair. As I was saying, you know, that what we are looking at the department to say what are these processes now we're putting in place is to make sure that our strategy we do cascade it down throughout the organization. On the 28th of March, the minister will be addressing all the managers of all the offices, ports of entry, and ASD level up in the department. So it's a meeting where we meet, we call it top 1,000, so that we make sure that before the start of the financial year, people are getting from the minister what is expected of them based on the plans which we put in front of the minister. As we said now that really our planning is now really focused on those critical areas. We don't want to go everywhere. We just deal with those processes I've mentioned to you. And then we really want to make sure that we've got clear planning and monitoring and evaluation guidelines, tools and capacity building to make sure that people understand. One of the things which we have learned was that before we were really looking only on this MAT principle, that now targets must be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant and time-bound. But if now they are not evidence-based, most people can tell what they would say they will do, but we want to, at that point, to say, how are we going to show us that we have achieved this? If you can't prove that, then it's not a target. And also this thing of them being funded, most people put nice targets, and at the time of execution, no, it's not funded. So we make sure that at the beginning, these things are really smart and evidence-based and funded. And we really now work as a department on this integrated planning to say if now we are dependent on this particular item from one branch to the other, or even outside, if now we're working with stakeholders like ABOSARS, and so we don't sit and make our targets and then we go to SARS later and say, no, I can't implement this. So we make sure that we do that. And we really, the issues now of looking at bench performance and then this bottom-up approach, it really helps. And now we're really intensifying now the issues of monitoring in the department. And also improve internal controls around management. So since now we're working with internal audit in terms of looking at our evidence, it makes that there must be no disjunction now on what we're reporting on a quarterly basis to the committee, and when the Auditor General now comes and says no, but those targets have not been achieved. So that is helping us in that. And as we said now that under this branch now, we really look at the issues of what was the past, what is current, and then informs us going forward. So Chair, now I'm coming now to the 17-18 now targets. So it was good for us to say, what were the targets which we have in the 16-17, which will be coming and report on them? There were 32. As we are saying that we really want to be focused, not to be everywhere, and we need to have targets which have got an impact, not just routine targets. We'll see what, in particular, what we have changed now from civics, though they still look like it's the same number, but we'll see that we have changed. And then in administration, we also now want the specific targets which have got impact. So now we're at 32, now we've got 28. but I will explain how they have changed. Yes, I will show that. So let's start now with the IMS. For us now, IMS, we have brought now a new target, which has not been there, which I've mentioned. 100 law enforcement operations, inspections conducted to ensure compliance with immigration and departmental legislation. This talks now to go into the shops, businesses, look for the compliance. Do they comply with the 60-40 principle of employing people within the business? Do they have licenses to do that? So that's what now will be looking at it, because this enforcement, what I was saying, I didn't have enough number of the inspectorate officials, but I need to have a target for those which we have, so that when now we come and say we need more money, we can demonstrate based on the results of those inspections. What did we change now? The feasibility study for the responsibility now for the ports, we have changed. It was in finance. Then we're saying if this target is sitting at finance, it's going to be about now building cement and blocks and plants. But this is not about that. Us improving the ports of entry, it must be able to indicate to us how it will contribute to the economic or improvement of the country. How did we deal with it? So if it is within IMS at the BMA, because going forward, BMA will be taking over at that. And as well, now the target on the premium visa side has already been achieved. So that's why again I will say that why it is reducing, now that it has already been achieved, so it's no longer there. And then in the BMA...
The 100 is...
Yes.
Can you just explain to members, if you decide that today you're going to do the operation,
yeah,
then you go and visit 10 businesses,
yeah,
do you record it as 10
against that
enforcement operations, or
yeah,
is it one?
I know that one is one. If now, yes.
The number of shops visited on that day.
Yes, but we'll have an operation.
You'll record it as one.
One operation.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Now members should be
understanding. Yes. It's not that we'll go only to 100 offices. We'll go to 100 operations. Yes, that's what it means.
Yeah. Okay.
Then now BMA, now that now has been gained now by BMA, that one which was moved to finance. Let's go to civics, is the question which we're asking. I was saying not though, civics has got still 5, but what did we do? We've added now that strategy has been asked by a committee. When are we stopping the green ID book? So now civics now must be developing now that strategy for the discontinuation of the green barcoded ID documents approved by the minister. And then now we have added the mobile solution for live capture piloted in 9 offices. What did we take out? What we have taken out now is that, remember we'll always be reporting that the first and the second reissue for IDs, in particular the green ones. This is the number we have done. We've done it within this number of sources. No, that can go now to the operational plans of the department, not at the strategic level. So we've taken 2 out and we've brought 2 at that strategic level. Then now, IS, what now we've been changing now at this was saying now, EMS is there that will be piloted. Remember, it was supposed to have been done in the 16-17, but because we could not achieve it, it's still there. But what we're looking at now is that they must do with the automation of amendments and citizenship. And then we need that analysis now signed off of the automated fingerprint system, which can now just, when I deal with the quarterly, I will come back to that. Then on HR, we wanted to include now this issue of 70% of employees charged with misconduct found guilty in finalized, because we're saying we've got a visa machina where we'll go and say we've arrested 20 people at Maseru Bridge, at Bait Bridge and wherever within the department. But it should not end up there. It must go to the finality by making sure that those staff members who were involved, they get disciplined and finalized. Because if we don't, it doesn't help anyone. Then with the IPS, we are saying now that issue of compliance on Tiger's annual report is no longer now why they were managing that, but they will get other targets. Finance, we said now the issue of compliance with targets, it will go to the operational plans, and then we didn't change anything on the counter corruption and comms. But you know, the summary, you know, of those 28 targets, so Roma said we've got 28. So you know, we're giving the summary now what we'll be dealing with it under each branch. So for IMS, as I've said now, we'll have 100% law enforcement operations inspected, conducted to ensure compliance with the immigration and departmental legislation. We'll be making sure that we've got now the immigration and refugee bills approved now by Minister for submission to Cabinet based on the white paper. Then I will be looking after the 5 ports of entry and 1 refugee reception office in Musina. Based on what we have done now at Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Center, now next, then the 17-18 will be now targeting Musina. And then 85% of permanent residence applications adjudicated within 8 months, and then 90% of business and general work visas adjudicated within 8 weeks. 80% of critical skills visa adjudicated within 4 weeks for applications collected within RSA. And then the feasibility report submitted to National Treasury for Refugee Reception Office. To remember, Chair, that we said we wanted to establish this refugee processing center in Libombo. And the first thing we had was to get the land. That land, now we have it. Where we are now, we are wanting now to get now this report. Because now one treasury approval, one does, it gives you now. Remember when we are asked the question, how much amount this thing is going to cost us? Like, no, we cannot at that point, because we need to follow up all these processes. By now at that point, we'll be knowing now how to build this. So that's what we'll be doing. So now the land is already there.
Report. I think sometimes it's generally something like my investigation ground or what. Technical report or geotechnical report. After you have got the land.
Yes.
Design and all that.
Yeah.
Well, that's in a deviated much.
No. That one, Chair, was the zoning of the land. You remember we said that land, you can't just get a land and go and put a business or a residential or whatever. You must first go to municipality and say, we agree that this land can be used for refugee centers. So that we've done. We've done to acquire the land. We've got an approval of the right zoning. So now we're working now on the land, which we know that it meets the requirements.
But you are not saying anything on it, EG. You are talking about going to Musina.
No. There are two things.
So now we have got almost a full financial year that's coming where we're not going to see anything really rising up in the Bombo.
You're
building Musina only.
No, we're talking about two things here. Musina, we're doing what we did at Desmond Tutu. You are renovating what is already existing. Then at Libombo is a separate issue altogether. That you've got a process, was to get to the Treasury approval. One, there are processes which you need to follow, those investigations which you need to do. You get somebody to look at the financial model, look at everything environmental, and then you go and submit now to Treasury. So at Libombo, there's going to be no building in the 17-18. You don't want to get that.
The other side of this, you are saying something. And then... For the whole of 12 months,
Okay, proceed. Okay, proceed. Was soll man explain it?
Ja. Then around BMA, as I've said, nice that BMA roadmap now approved, I've already explained, and then the implementation of the integrated border management strategy, and then this one again now with the 6 ports, is that now the bid documents now will be issued, evaluated, and submitted. Was treasury approval too? It means now is at the stage where now we have appointed a preferred bidder. So it means now by end of next year, December 2017, we're expecting that now we'll have a bidder who has been now appointed, then get the construction can start again now in the 18-19. Then now with the beds, civics is those 5K which I've said, now they will still register the 750. We want now to issue 3 million cards. This year it was 2.2. So now we'll increase that now by 800. And then now passports issued within 13 working days will still be there. And then now we've added the two, as I said, the strategy for discontinuation of Green ID book and the mobile solution. Then IS will be dealing now with the citizenship and amendment process into live capture, and that automated fingerprint, and that one biometric now which was not completed in the previous year now will come into this year. Then HR will be dealing with that training of 300 managers I've talked about, and then now the 70 employees charged with misconduct, and we still want to really now with the push now which we have, that let's make sure that we don't have a vacancy rate which is above that, so positions must be filled. And then now the IPS will still now continue.
Just before you go there, number two above.
Yes.
Where you talk about 70% of employees charged.
Yes.
With misconduct found guilty. Yes. If all 100% are not guilty, so what? Why do you want to find the
misconduct? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's wrong. So there's another 7% of employees charged with misconduct finalized. I think that, yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, those might not be. Yeah, I think that was a mistake, but let's check it in the report. Is it written like that?
Yes.
Yeah. No, you're right, Chair. Something when I look at it, it will be like now we've got a pre determined outcome. Okay, then we'll look at that. And then now IPS, a draft white paper for repositioning will be submitted to ministers, as we said. Then now counter corruption, as we said, we didn't change anything there, is to make sure that they will still continue doing those issues. And then communication, we didn't change anything there. They will still continue with that. Then, Chair, this one now is really, is just taking these things now on a quarterly basis, because we said it would be good for us, so that now the committee can know that when we come back to report quarter one, we are reporting against what we said on that. So in each of the targets, we've split it into quarter one, and then quarter two, and quarter three, and quarter four. So I will leave that again for as I'm saying, I saw the committee, so that when we come back, when I report on the BMA roadmap approved by the minister, I know that in quarter one, I must say, was that approved by the project manager, quarter two, quarter three, like that. So in each one, we have done that per quarter. And I was just aware now, you see, but in other quarters, we don't have. Like if you look at this one now of the 6 ports, we are clear now that in quarter one, the proposal will be evaluated and signed off by me. And then now the request for proposal will be issued. And then in quarter three, a bidder will be recommended now to National Treasury already, and then in quarter four we'll have already submitted now for approval. So we split it like that, each target, so that it is clear what is expected for us. And it's like that 100 enforcement which you were asking. So it means now in quarter one, when I come to the report, I'll be able to say we're 25 operations which were in this area and that area and that area, what has happened and all that.
But you must not forget the challenges of quarter three.
Yes, that's why I can tell you, we'll see about other targets. I'll show you when I deal with the bed, that we start at quarter three, we start now where we've got some numbers that we reduce it. I'll show when I deal with the bed. Quarter three, I want to see where there's a change in numbers. Yeah, for instance, if you look at this one of the bed, we know that now quarter one and quarter two, we can get high numbers, but quarter three is the issue, because that's where you've got public holidays and all that, and then the number is a little bit lower, and then now quarter four, that's how. But on the bed, I wanted to come to this number, because we didn't change the figure. It's to say, we split that target per province, to say province A is supposed to register this number, but we took what we achieved in the 15-16 and say what we achieved was 703 of the birds. But birds which have occurred within 31 and 60 days, which people now come back and register after 31 days, is 39,000. Then that number takes us now to 743,000, which now, if you say, if I can be now to push the people who are registering within a month after the target date, I move them, then I would have registered 743. But now, even within that 31 now to 60 days, these are the births which have occurred during the weekends and holidays. But what is the challenge there is that we do not have staff who are working during weekends and public holidays. Had we had that staff there, would have been able to register 794. So what we're trying to demonstrate with this slide is to say why we have not changed the number is because of those practicalities until we are able to overcome that. So once we're able to deal with that, then we can be able now to increase that number. But what we want in that study, which I was saying we have commissioned, it must tell us why people are not registering that bed within that 31 to 60 days. So that once we get those, then we'll be able now to come with a strategy to deal with that issue. So even on that 3 million, I was able now, even we followed what you said, that we've seen that in quarter three, again, we looked at the number must not be high because of that, so we look at that. Chair, as I've said, about others, we really wanted to make sure that with the committee we are clear what we'll be having at a particular point, and then it can be like now on this mobile solution. When we come now to report quarter one, we want to be able to say, here is a service provider has been appointed. And then now in quarter two, these are the technical specifications, and then now quarter three, we're going for mobile live capture solution that's developed. And then now in quarter four, we are piloting now in the nine offices. So IT is the same, we follow the same process. You'll see, but in other quarters, we do not have a target because we know, you know, but we'll still be working, so it's not something which is tangible, which we can put, but in the quarter two and three, what we'll be doing. It's the same with that AFIS, that now our targets, we split it in this quarter two, service provider will be appointed, and then we work on everything, and then in quarter four is then that we'll be able to produce that analysis report. I think that is then in HR, we're able now to split those numbers of how we're going to train people per quarter and all that. And then the vacancy rate is what we want to maintain. And then those employees who are charged, but will correct that thing as we found guilty.
Why are you not improving on the vacancy rate? What was the figure? Was it not 10%?
Yeah.
Why are we sticking to it instead of improving on it?
This is a norm from the department. It's a DPSA norm, which says now your vacancy rate must always be not more than 10%.
I don't refuse. If this year that is what you are maintaining, the following financial year, why don't you target to improve on it?
Yes.
And then you just want to stay there at 10%, and then you are happy forever.
Yes. No, I get your point. But remember, last year we didn't have any post which was filled. So we didn't want now when we started, because now this thing you must be able to put your improvements based on the lessons which you have learned. So it looks like now we are starting now this year because of the last year. But it's something which in the next year we will see how we can improve. But say that's what they are. But we'll try to make sure that it's not going beyond that. We can even reduce it. Then IS is really about that white paper. So what we are looking at now is that by quarter one, we want now to have published a paper about what we are saying on this white paper. And then in quarter two, we will have now that report now consolidated. And then now the first draft must be approved on the third quarter. And then the other one in the fourth quarter, which will be the final draft. Counter corruption, as we said, that we have split those targets per quarter, what we'll be doing and all that. And as well as on the vetting, how we're going to be dealing with it. Communication, as I said, we didn't change anything, but we know what must we do per each quarter and be able to report back here. Then, Chair, the only one I will deal with it is on the HR. I will give CFO to deal with financing. Chair, as we said that we didn't have a post in the previous year. But now, where we tried now to, you remember, operating on those issues of the ceiling. So when now Treasurer said last day we must not fill any position, it meant now when people resigned, those posts now were remaining now funded. But what they have to do now with that money? We had now to say, yes, there was a secretary which resigned in the unit A or whatever deputy director, but it does not mean now we have filled those positions. What we have done, we said, here now is a gap which has happened between what was the ceiling and what the people left. What can we prioritize now out of that and be able now to fill some positions? So that's how Gena, we have come up with this number of the positions. And so when Gena, we are saying people now, because now for this year, we are allowed now, anybody now who has resigned or who are resigning now will be able now to fill those positions together with these ones. So when we say now we need to make sure that we don't have positions now remaining not filled in the department. So we're split now to say under ministry there's only one position there, and then civics branch has got 33 posts, and then counter corruption is only one position, and finance is only one, then immigration, we've got 105, but we've got the split even off those positions to say when you go to that 105, I think OR Tambo, they're going to get about 25 positions. That's what we've got a list. And then IT will fill about 16. And then now under institutional support is our contact center, will do about 5. Then now SCRA and RAB, they will get 3 another one is 3 members, another one is 2. And then in the provinces, and then I would be filling now Eastern Cape 15, Free State 4, Gauteng 25, KwaZulu-Natal 7. So as the number, there was a criteria for us now when we're doing this to say we wanted to make sure that there is no office without an office manager. and then also the system allows us to have at least as a minimum five people to run your live capture. So now if those offices are at four and then we add one and all that, then you know the interns, we also have to get interns, because interns, they assist us on them. Yes, they get being trained, but it gives you the capacity at those lower levels. So that's what the chair on the, which now will be reporting now back to the committee now every quarter on these numbers to say how many now have resigned in that quarter and how many were filled, and are we still within those brackets which we have. But these positions, we've got a list of them in detail. We've already advertised all of them at a management. Senior management is already advertised. We're in the process of filling them, and even the ones at a lower level. So each DDG knows what positions they must push for in that particular year. So, Getcha, I will hand over now to Sefo just to deal you now with the budget part of it.
The 244 interns.
Yes.
Is this the first time we engage interns, or if ever we engage them before, what happened to those that have completed their session? You send them to the streets? What has happened with them?
No, Chair, exactly that program, it does that. That most special when you do not have positions. That's why now it hits them in the previous year. Because if now you've got posts like this, then you've got interns, it gives them now an opportunity to apply. But because previous year, we didn't even have any post to fill. So when they finished their test, they were going, which is unfortunate. But now, they're going to get an opportunity now, because when these positions are here now, they will be have a better chance than somebody who did not go through a training. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thank you. Good morning, honorable committee members. Chair, I think I would like to start off by appreciating the support we have been receiving from the Portfolio Committee and its call for the department to be adequately funded. So, if I can, Chair, on the budget side, and I'm only going to focus on 17-18 and 18-19 briefly, Chair, so the new financial year. Our baseline for 2017-18 is 7.055 billion rands. It's split up in programs, so administration is 2.2 billion, citizen affairs is 3.5 billion, and immigration affairs is 1.2 billion. Chair, the baseline of 7.055 billion includes an additional 51 million rands for the APP, which National Treasury has granted us, but it also includes the 55 million baseline reduction, which Treasury implemented as part of the cost-saving measures. Chair, if you compare citizen affairs 17-18 to 18-19, you'll see that there's a significant increase between the 2 years. That is because of the allocation to the Independent Electoral Commission. In 18-19, we are having elections again, and in accordance with the normal trajectory, ISC then gets a bigger allocation during election years. So the additional amount for IEC in 2018-19, Chair, is 650 more, but that's still a year to go. Chair, the earmarked funds is the baseline of 7.055 billion rand includes earmarked funds. Those earmarked funds cannot be used for anything else but the earmarked purposes. So it's our modernization project, WIO, it's for the advanced passenger processing, it's for border posts and for property. So we can't use that money to travel, for instance. So that's on the program allocation for 2017-18, Chair. On, Digi already spoke about the ceilings, or compensation of employee ceilings. Chair, if you look at 17-18, our compensation of employee ceiling is 3.198 billion rands. We have allocated the full amount under compensation of employees to enable us to fill all these vacant posts. I don't think we need to say anything else about that, Chair. The annual or the average growth rate on compensation of employees over this MTF period is 7.1%. So it's rather stable, but it's not significant, and it doesn't allow for expansion of establishment or adequately fund the department as it is. Chair, I think this slide just gives the same figures in a different format. It splits it per economic classification. It tells us that our salary bill is 3 billion rands, goods and services 2.3 billion rands, and then transfers and subsidies, which goes to IEC. That's basically the presentation, Chair. So I was only focusing on 17-18, the next financial year. If you want me to, Chair, I can say to you that we, at this stage, in respect of the current financial year, we are spending and we are close to 100% spend already, so and we have 2 weeks to go. Thank you.
I've just heard that you are worried about the IEC in
2018-19.
But then the major spend will be in towards the end of 2018-19 or whatever. But you are not talking about the BMA. You are quiet about the BMA. If I was sleeping. Can you just simply explain how do you foresee the BMA? Because you definitely have to establish the bureaucracy.
Yes.
Starting almost from September this year, the mini budget must start talking to that. Even if we quickly agree and the other forces are not stopping us.
Yes, you are correct, sir. But as you are saying, rightfully, remember now that the BMA, when we go now, remember now you submit for the MTF of 18-19. So now when we were going for submit for 17-18, that thing should have been submitted in August last year. So at that point, so Treasurer was of the view that we are still working on this. But once now the bills are out, then now in the, when we submit now in August, we'll be able now to submit something now for 18-19, 19-20, and 2021. So what we still have now, that allocation of BMA is still within what we are able to do. But now in that time, we'll be able now to submit for BMA.
Yeah, it is fine.
Honorable members, I think we have heard them. But when I look at this budget, especially the very last page that we're speaking about, you are only seeing a change in numbers that talks to elections. Mm-hmm. And the growth from 2017-18, 18-19, 19-20, it doesn't indicate that there are certain things that are going to happen that are very abrupt and radical in the department. It doesn't talk to that. You can't see it. It's just gradual increases that may be talking to inflation or whatever, but not necessarily that are radical things that we expect to happen. And in the form of the biometrics, modernizing almost all the remaining offices, and then there is a lot of infrastructure that is required. Some other areas you may need to put up electricity, access roads to that office or whatever, and then security to make sure that then the office are secured. And again, is that we have been talking to more immigration inspectors so that they can really patrol our streets and make it inhabitable by the undocumented. But there is no sign of any radical change to also talk to the repositioning policy that we are busy with, because it will come with its own troubles as well, especially of being in the security class. So I think that's what the thing that I'm just reading. It is your, and then the other thing, of course, is that when you look at the targets, all other targets over quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, there are others that we have not factored the quarter three one. Looks like we have just split them equally as if even the officials in the department will continue to be there and do the work as if there is no holiday. And I thought that we took from yourselves that quarter three present problems. Some officials go on leave, even those that are from RAB or SCRA, you may have problems with them during the December period to achieve the targets. And, one expected that quarter three figures will always reflect that there is a possibility that certain individuals that are delivering on the service on that day, on that quarter, may be on leave, and then the numbers then should be showing that particular scenario. Honorable members, they have taken us through the document. Honorable Figland, I don't know, there is some noise outside. I hope that we'll understand each other within this noise. And then Honorable Kenyon follows. Proceed. Honorable Kekana then will follow as well.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the presentation, DG. First question I want to ask is about the budget. You say you're nearly 100% on the budget. You only got 2 weeks left. Now, is it possible that you can give us exactly what is the percentage that you're standing on at this moment? Okay. The other question, Chairperson, is on this presentation. Sorry, it takes me so long, but I want you to wait until the noise is gone. This one is coming to you, DG. The 750,000 of the death registration, I believe it's for nationally. But now look at your target, the province. Why Eastern Cape has got more target than the improved cities like Western Cape, Gauteng and all that? I don't know what page is that. And the other one is the model is found that ensures the sustainable funding of home affairs with a net gain to fiscus. Now, what does that mean? Your management, you mentioned that you've got 300 managers that will go for training. Don't GNH have ongoing training to your managers, or is this a newly recruit when you talk about the junior managers? Within the BMA, since there is a delay in the processing of the BMA, is it still realistic to expect the authority to be established and operational by 2017-18, since there was not even a mention of the budget for the BMA? So maybe you can answer both questions. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kenyon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. Maybe also we can improve this on numbering, because our slides are not numbered. Though I can see there's a faint number there on the board, but there's nothing that shows on the. Now it's difficult sometimes to refer to the pages when you want to ask questions. If you can just improve on the numbering. I think Honorable Figanez just asked my question, but to qualify it more, maybe to say, is it impossible? I'm sorry. Maybe it is because the road maybe still is approved. Is it still approved by the minister? It's already approved by the minister. Maybe that is why there's delay. I don't know. My other question, yes, I'm still asking on the issue of the DMA establishment in the operational, which is, to our understanding, it is delayed, really, when you talk about 2017-2018. So the realistic part of it really is critical. I don't know whether it's because of the roadmap. Now, my question also is on the summary on IMS. Why are the targets set for business and work visas distinguished between those that are processed in South Africa? And this difference is deep. Yeah. Also, why are the best recession targets set as numbers instead of percentages? Because it is impossible to estimate occurrence of deaths. So to my understanding, it should be explained according to the percentage more than the numbers. This one has been asked also. Also, currently, I don't know whether this page, but I think somewhere there, page 12, when I just try to estimate. Can the department also report and set targets for human resources, which indicated the vacancy rate versus the approved structure, which is funded to focus on service delivery? I'm asking this question so as to motivate, if we say we want to motivate for improved funding. On your challenges, you talk about historical underfunding and resourcing of DSAs. Now, how will budgeting planning for immigration branch function with the advent of PMA? And then, I think lastly, what are some components which will need to be included in the new model for DHA as a secure department? I think that is all, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you very much, and Honorable Kiki.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by saying that thanks very much, DG, and your team for your good presentation. Let me say that I'm now partly covered by the latter speakers, but I just want to talk on the issue of governance that were not raised. Some of them, they were not raised in the report, but I just want clarity on them. The issue of DG litigations. How many consultants companies do you have in Home Affairs and why? And to check if you've got some wasteful expenditures and what you have done to correct them. And yeah, no, here in terms of corruption, I'm covered. I'm reading something that informed me that there were 687 posts that were put on hold. And it seems as Chairperson once wrote a letter around October 2016, trying to check what is happening. Can I get clarity on that one if you know about it? I thought that those vacant posts were put on hold because of there was a reduction on, yes. So I just want to get clarity between these ones that you were presenting and these ones, if they are one thing or not. And then let me get clarity. You see, this thing of percentage, sometimes some of us, that made a check. I wanted to know the 70% of employees who were charged that just assist me with that 70% in terms of numbers. How many are they? Then I will come back after this if I'm not satisfied. Thank you very much.
Let's leave a full of Kulubayo Nana, but good to know. Umbavanga Santa by 10.
Bafuna make sure good 7 years was their cases are finalized. If it is 10, 7 of them. If it is 100, 70 of them, they must be finalized within the financial year.
Yeah.
That's all what they're trying to say.
Okay,
so the question of course, it will be that whether there will be people that misbehave. But we hope that nobody misbehaves. Okay. Honorable Rapuji.
Yeah, thank you very much, DG, for your presentation. And my concern is this early birth registration. Because we can see that we are having challenges there. Are we as the department, are you not doing, like, you know, not an awareness about this early birth registration, you know, so that people can be able to know that it's very important to register, you know, their kids. And what are the challenges there? What have you, besides that there are no staff during the weekends working in the healthcare services, but what other challenges? Are they foreigners or what? What do you do with foreign pets? And then on the issue of the adjudication of the critical skills, you said that within four weeks. How are you going? How is this being communicated, you know, to the people who have applied for those visas, and how long does it take to communicate to those people? And on the issue of the human resource, those feeling of those posts, DG, because we can see that we are being hampered so much about the issues of unemployment. When are you going to advertise? Please, I think that is very, very important. I thank you.
Honorable Gumede.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And firstly, let me thank the department for the good work that they do in general. There are hiccups, there are problems, but which place doesn't have a problem? There are problems everywhere. Thank you for the good service that you have done in some areas. And then secondly, I've got two areas to ask about. The first one is around the issue of capacity. Some time back you had acting managers in provinces, and then I do not know now how many acting managers we are having, but perhaps if you could assist and tell us how many acting managers you are having and then for how long, because really for capacity, you need people who are confident that the following month they'll be working, the following year they'll be working. That is the first area. The second area would be the area of the payment period, that's 30 days. Are you still on track? Last time you were on track. And then I do not know how far are you now. Unfortunately, I did not look at my BRRR to look at the other areas of performance. But looking at those two, perhaps could you be in a position to clarify? Thank you.
Thank you very much. DG, I think we wrote a letter to Treasury, I'm sure about 2-3 days back, to remind them on the decision that we took, that the lady that was mandated to come and speak on COE will go and brief the department their finance. And then they will come and brief us how they process the information. I think we've written a letter to ask Treasury, when is that happening? Because I think we are about to put together a program for the committee, starting when? June, July, May. For May, May, June. And then we just wanted to get information to come and still deal with the issues of financing the Department of Home Affairs. And then the other issue, of course, is to check really, because there is a program of building new hospital or upgrading hospitals infrastructure, and also some comprehensive. Called it comprehensive healthcare facilities. Something that is between a clinic and a hospital. They are being built across the whole country. Is there any possibility of having an agreement that all those, whenever there is that major infrastructure development in terms of these health facilities, then Home Affairs get an office there, with the aim of actually putting a soul that will make sure that the beds are recorded. We own the office, it gets allocated to Home Affairs. And is that possible? Some other time at certain forum, I'm sure you'll remember, DG, that there was an indication that because now you are in the security cluster, a possibility may exist that you may be delegated the vetting responsibility, that you may not need to wait for SASA. Well, I mean, it's SSA. Has anyone within the department just checked the possibility of doing that, where we can get the state security agency then delegating the responsibility to the department for vetting, so that you don't have to wait for ages for officials that are especially the lower ranks below the Deputy Director General? Have we checked that? And then also we need to hear that this matter of DERCO is closed in this financial year that you are coming. It may be difficult to put targets to it, but a single target of it being closed in 2017-18, that we no longer speak about it the next time when you come for your annual financial statement, it doesn't become the talk of the show. And then the other thing, of course, I'm not sure where it is covered, but Mkhize will be knowing better. This business that people are crying about, blocked IDs, and then they are told that they will be deported and all that, not without even hearing their sides of story. People just wake up and find the ID blocked. And then when they phone, then the officials of Home Affairs just go to the computer system then and see that it is blocked. You are a non-citizen. The next thing, you are going to be deported. And then to really get over this thing, to get over it, whatever way, but to get over it, and then so that we don't get these unhealthy calls, you know, when somebody that thinks that is a resident and is a fully fledged born here, but then if he finds himself in that little corner where. I'm sure you know Ngomas is the area of Mkhize where he plays around with this. And then I don't know which other areas, but it may be around our SADC countries, I'm not sure. And as we have discussed with the DG about the possibility of an oversight trip to the Sterk Spruit area, that area and around Lesotho, and then border communities, and then so that we go and actually get that. Nkomazi is almost similar area as well, around the border of Swaziland and Mozambique. So there are those that came here long ago, but then people are people, you know, even if when they are here through some other corrupt routes in Home Affairs, they got the South African identity document, but still they cross back to Swaziland, you know. They go back left and right every day, and then but whereas they said, you know, they are South African citizens, but the manner in which they go back home, and then it shows that they are also Swazis, they are also Mozambicans, and then it creates a lot of frustrations on administration of our population register. But we need to get to some sort of end or beyond that particular challenge. I think you may proceed, DG.
No, thanks, Chair. I will be splitting the question. So what I didn't answer, the colleagues will come and answer, most especially Mr. McKees, and we've got some questions and CFO. Chair, let me just go to the funding model. As I said, I will leave Mr. McKees a better registration. You know, the funding model which we're talking about was saying, even on our repositioning paper, that the fiscals is going to be difficult to think that Home Affairs budget would be increased by R1 billion next year. It's not going to happen within the fiscals. But Home Affairs does collect revenue, which is at that range of about R1 billion. But now what our argument is, we collect R1 billion, deposit it in the National Revenue Fund, and is given to police, to health, and everybody else except us. So why can't we have a model which says, collect revenue, get invested in Home Affairs, once the issues are resolved, because we'll be collecting even more after those issues have been resolved, then the money will go to fiscals. But now, it doesn't happen like that. That's why when we're talking about inspectorate officials, we said police at O.R. Tambo as an airport, and they're visible. Even if you walk there, you see them. They're about 810 in one port of entry. But Home Affairs has got 750 throughout the entire country. So that's what we're talking about, and say, at a funding model which will assist us, then we'll be able to do that. For instance, even our data, people, they use the data, but why can't we link and then we get connected? I mean, look at these companies, or ITC, who are keeping data for people who have got credit problems. But how do they make money? It's because when Standard Bank wants to open an account, what do? They go to ITC and check, and they pay. So why can't we do the same? And so Standard Bank, when we want to somebody to open, to verify that ID, as the chair was saying, you can't go to the bank without checking whether that ID is yours. It's fine, let's collect that money. But why should they collect it to give it to health and education? So that's why now this funding model we were talking about, we're saying what we need to look at it. Then the 300 is not to train only the new recruits. We want to train management. We have been running it, but want to always have a target on it. So let's come to this BMA. You know, this BMA is really a pain to us. But we can't leave it and say, oh, there's a delay there, there's a delay there, therefore, let's leave it and say we'll do it in 2020. Let's say we'll do it in 17-18, but what is expected of us is to push it. Because once we take it out of the radar, we say, no, we relax, Tina, because I don't want to put it at 17-18, I want to put it at 19-20. then the people who are even opposing us will say, yes, we have succeeded now. They have put this thing now at abeyance. It must be here so that it put pressure to us. But what we need assistance on is for everybody to say, the department is putting this thing and we need it as a country. Let's not allow for it to be delayed based on what we are saying. We can, people can present whatever they want to say, there's nothing which needs to be fixed, everything is okay, but practically on the ground, 24 million rand last week, gone. That week, a march by SATAWU saying there's no enforcement on there, people are losing jobs because an illicit economy is continuing in the country and we are not establishing what should assist us. So, Chair, realistically, we want it to be established and we believe that it can. But what we need is the will of the people who should deal with it and say, let's do this thing, it can be. That's why we really appreciate the support which we are getting from the committee. But on our side, once it comes to our level, we will push it to happen. So that's what we want. That's why, Chair, even now we wrote even to Treasury and say, register BMA as a Schedule 3. I said, no, we still wait until this comes and all that. But at the end, it's what we're going to do. Even this budget issue which is asked by the Chair, I will prove. No, I did submit. It's not that I did not submit. And then they can say, no, but how do you want us to make an allocation if you did not submit? I said, no, I've submitted. But you decided, I don't decide. We have decided not to allocate. Then at the time when we need, he says, no, that you did not allocate. But even that's why I was saying, whether we've got 10 rand, let us establish the PMA. And then it will find its feet. So that's why we are. That's why we're putting it there purposely. We are pushing it every opportunity we have. We are trying to make sure that it is being done. As the Chair was saying now to us, is looking at that, was working at the committee meetings, even still deal with this BMA. So we really appreciate that. No, Ma'am Kenya, I think this issue of the slides, we notice it. That's why now we page number, but we'll make sure that next time we don't do that. And then now this summary of IMS differentiating from national and international. That's what we're saying now. Once we automate, because remember people are applying from abroad. So those things, these are still applying manually. We don't want to put a target on something which we cannot control. But those who are inside the country is automated. That's why again, now we are having this e-permit. Once we have done it abroad, we also give the time frames the same. Then now this one of birth is interesting. We wanted, in fact, even with smart card and the birth, we would have taken an easy route to simply say, Home Affairs birth which are coming to be registered, we only register them within 30 days, but we're going to relax because it means if now today mothers have come and registered birth, they are 5, and then I've registered them within 30 days, then I'm okay. But the question which must be is not that one, is to say, what about the others who did not come? So we are saying, ultimately, we want to register 100% of births occurred. That's where we want to go. So for us to get there, is to put that number, because it pushed us now to say, we said we're going to do 750, but we're doing less. That's why now we're asking questions. Why people do not register? Mm. I'm saying we're getting all sorts of reasons. People says, people need to name the child, the name, they must get it from there, from the father, and now they says, no, it must stay another 7 days, so they can't name the child within 7 days, they get out and all that. That's why now we commissioned now that study, because how that study is going to be done, they are visiting communities, traditional leaders, so they come back to us and say, man, the reason why people are not registering kids. It's this one, not these other reasons which you have. That's why we were saying here that one of the things we thought, but we learned later that it is not. We thought is a leverage was when you need a grant for a child, you must have a birth certificate. So that child does not get registered for a grant without a birth certificate. Now we're told, well, no, it doesn't. SASSA give people grants whether they've got a certificate or not. So it means that the mothers are not now encouraged to go and register birth. Then the other one now, which was still dealing with it, we have gone now to get a legal opinion, was on the education. Because education says, no, they cannot deny a child a right to education just based on the birth certificate. That's why they're registering even children of foreign nationals. They said a child is a child. Then yeah, we said, no, let's go and get a legal opinion whether this thing, when it is written like that in the Constitution to say every child, does it not have limitations? Does it say, literally means that I cross with a child from the border, I have a bed on this side, I let that child now go to school, get registered at primary, which is fine, gets at level now grade 12. That child now is 16 years and is a what? Then according to that, it means now that child can become now a South African. Then now the parents are having a citizenship following a child instead of the child following the parent's citizenship. So that's why now we want to look at it to say, because if now that allows that, that's what is creating problems. To say now education accepts them, and then under this, us, we can't register them because of this, but when they get to that age, then there is a problem. So it's something in which was saying now this thing, why they were using the number, is that we would want to use, even on the smart card, we're saying smart card, we should just simply say, people have come to apply for a smart card, you get it within 5 days, then we're happy. But the issue we're sitting with is that we want to have all South Africans with a smart card. So offices will relax and say, no, today there were 5 people comes to apply, I've issued it within 5 days or 7 days, I'm fine. But because now they've got a target that we want to finish the 38 million within a period of 5 to 6 years, now they go and do this awareness. They go and say to them, come. They go so that now they can. So that's why again now these two targets are not in a percentage. And there was a noise now. I couldn't get that question about HR, but maybe my colleagues have picked it up. And then, or the other one was in this, is they'll say what components will be included. Maybe Tulani will deal with that on the new DHA. On these governance issues, a litigation, we might not have a report for it here, which maybe we can bring it because we didn't. But it's something which we really deal with it. There's in the financials, we'll say what are the cases which we have. Maybe we can bring it on that. Home Affairs does, we get the definition of consultants, even if the people are paying for IT, they're called consultants. So we do. And maybe we can give that report check to say, these are the consultants which we are using for IT is for this and for that. We can provide that report. We'll do that. Wasteful expenditure and what have we done in the last report. We never, maybe see if we deal with that one. About what was the issue of the 687 positions. That's why we are saying now the only money which we could get is only that. I've explained, but that money is just people who have resigned last year. And then a bit that they were resigned, we even have to reprint. The 687 is a lost case as far as we understand. Treasurer didn't give us money for that. That's why now the chair wrote the letter. I think the chair is reporting. Until they come back and say, would they give us any additional amount for those posts or not? So this is not linked with that at all. It's only for people who have resigned, and then based on that, we says we're no longer going to fill that post of a cashier, we're not going to fill that HR, and then based on that, said, hey, let's reprioritize now and say, DDG's post are priority. So we've got the DDG counter corruption, DDG IT, so that those posts must be prioritized. Chief directors, let's prioritize that. Heads of offices, let's so we just use that in terms of that. So that we're still waiting for. And then the number, we'll give the number. Chair, I don't have them on the top of the head, but the chair was explaining that it's just to say now we've got 10, and then now we make sure that the 7 must be completed. But once we do that, we give an effort to follow those cases, but we can give the number. It's another one which we can respond to the number. So, Mr. Mkiza, the one of Honorable Raput will deal with it. Or the critical skills. No, as we said, that we have improved, we'll remember that this is always been sitting on the MTSF. So, critical skills we do, and then we communicate it through VFS. People, they know in our norms and standards that that's why we're no longer getting people now complaining about our critical skills, visas, tourism. You know, that thing now has been dusted because of what we have done. No, the posts have already been advertised, as I've said. All the SMS posts were advertised, because immediately we got that approval. We did advertise them. So we're in the process of filling. That's why we know that we'll be able to come back and report. So the issue of capacity, as we said, we have prioritized now. Currently, yes, we've got people who are acting based on that, but all those positions now have been funded up to the extent that we've got money. I think all the, as I'm saying now, DDGs have been funded, chief directors in those areas were funded, provincial managers who have funded them, and the heads of offices, whether it is OR Tambo. Remember in the last meeting we said we didn't even have that post of OR Tambo filled. It has been funded now and all that. So, but in the detailed list, we can give you what are those positions are. Then the CFO will deal with the payment within 30 days. So the issue of health, no, it's something which we're working together with health. One of the things we want to have with health, in terms of the system, we're looking at the situation. Firstly, one, we want that, because there's a report that parents, they go to hospital, they forget their IDs, which is a normal thing. So we still want to check whether, if now we can put a verification system in the hospital, so that if I forgot my ID, at least you have come with your finger. And then you put your finger there, then you start by saying, okay, here are your details, you are this mother, is your ID, so register the child. Then the other one, we are still saying it's risky, but we are still looking at it. To say these people saying, I can't register my child because I don't have a name. Can we register that child without that name, whether we link it with the mother? At least we've got it on the system, we've got an address, and then we can follow up after that. Though I'm saying it's something which is risky now, to say if it doesn't come back forever, we'll sit with this a no-name child in the National Population Register. So it's something which we are still wanting to look at it, and so the health, we are part of them on that. Then Getcha, you are right on that issue. It was, you know, it is there even on the, when they were approving the repositioning in the cabinet, it has said that minister must look at that. So we're going to be working on that issue of delegating that power to Home Affairs. So we're following it on that. Then the matter of Home Affairs, yes, we're working on, we were invited to the Portfolio Committee of International Relations, and they are dealing with a bill of Foreign Service. in that we went as a department to give an input in that process. That the only thing now which is left, remember, DICO is already collecting that revenue and deposit it in the National Revenue Fund. But now there was that thing of accountability. So you know, we have asked now in that bill that DICO must collect revenue, deposit it in the National Revenue Fund and be accountable for it. So it is, we have submitted, but it's going to depend, because now what they said is that we'll sit with DICO now, formulate how we think it must be included in the bill, then it is going to go back, but we are not saying that it would be accepted final or not, but there is that platform which can now we are following. Remember when we talk about that issue of proclamation, then we said if now that one is also an avenue, it can help us. But it stands now, we are really working on it to make sure that we have sent people to the missions, that looks like now the current process, that it must not be changed. We don't want a change. Because remember what was the delay? Was those things of getting changes, do it like this, do it like that. So we have agreed with Treasury and H, but we don't change any process. Let us implement like what we did last year so that we can get only correct figures until now that process is closed. But we are working on with that committee. So Mr. Mkhize is going to deal with this thing of the block ID. But the part which I wanted to touch is this thing of people going back. That's why we are saying if we can implement these fingerprints, capturing at a port of entry. So I don't ask you whether you are a Swazi or you are what. I don't ask you. Your fingerprint must tell me who you are. Because if now we are traveling with a passport to Swaziland, I put your fingerprint, you must say, no, this person, you can't find him on your database, whether it's for grant or is for health hospital, or because he's a foreign national, he's a visitor. But you put your fingerprint there, but today you are traveling with a Swazi passport. And then the finger says, no man, this same fingerprint has got a passport, man, which is a South African. No man, but this finger is sitting on the SASSA grant. Once we can win that, then we'll close. But get chair, as we are saying, but if your borderline is porous, do you think I will go to a port of Inns? I won't. I will just simply go crossing the border. In fact, the way those borderline is so porous, it's not even 50 kilometers from a port. It's just 5 kilometers that there is a big space just next to the borderline. So I just cross, come this way and do that. That's why now we are saying, you establish this PMA and you have one authority. He says no. But if now you let the border fence down, you are hitting us on this other side. In fact, today now the president is going to next to the Mashaba. Yes. Because the community there are saying, you know, cars, you go there next to that area, you are driving a 4x4. They just take and cross the border. They were the premier of KZN was saying, I don't even need a fence which is high. Can't you put just a cement block up to this level? Because a car won't cross. But who must do that? Then you start and say, public works has got no budget, or it's got a budget, but now public works is national, is not provincial, and all that thing is not happening just because of that. So that's why I was saying, we just wish people can understand when now we are talking about this BMA, and that's what really the interest is not about maybe one money or all that and all that, but it's the security which we are talking about. So if now we can do this, then it will help us, but as we said, but there are challenges around. Those people have been in the country for many years. We need to find a solution, what can be done by them. So let me give Sefo now to respond on the question, then Tulan, there was one when I take, and Mr. Mkhize.
Is that all?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start off with responding to Mr. Vulnerable Figland's question about the 100% spend of the budget. We're currently, at the end of February, at 92.07% spent, 7.5 billion rand spent. The salary bill for March is going off tonight, so that's 250 mil. And in addition to that, I have the end of the month payment, so on the expenditure side, we're quite comfortable that everything will be spent. We're also meeting on a daily basis, and we are cutting access to BAS, so people can't make authorize payments as from the 15th tomorrow, where we centralize everything and make sure the payments, we don't exceed our budget. Then, vulnerable members' question on fruitless and wasteful. For 2015-16, our fruitless and wasteful expenditure was 99,000 rands. So fruitless and wasteful, we try and manage very strictly, and we recover from officials where they do incur fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Honourable Gumede's question on 30 days payment check. Unfortunately, we're not achieving 100%. At the end of February, we are standing at 92.56% spent within 30 days. So we're still 8% short of paying all our invoices within 30 days. Jay, the best we have done this year so far is 95.45%. There's a briefing of a portfolio committee of public service and administration and monitoring and evaluation tomorrow, where I must also present the 30 days payments and what we are doing to improve that position. It's a challenge for us. We're not paying all our invoices within 30 days. I think you has spoken about the issues about Turco. I have nothing more to add to that.
But what are the problems of not paying within 30 days? What are those challenges? Because, I came across information that says a service provider, if he submits a claim to a municipality for 3 million and 3 rands, and then the municipality feels that no, the claim was supposed to be 3 million 2 rands, then the municipality refuses to pay and send the invoice back. Why that? What are the problems? Because I happen to be some sort of a town engineer, and I used to pay a lot of claims of contractors. And if the invoice is submitted, and then there is an amount that I don't feel it is due, I used just simply to cancel the amount claimed, write the correct amount that I think it is correct, authorize that to be paid. And then the difference is an outstanding amount, the service provider then will still come and argue it. But the bulk that it is authorized, we understand that we owe them, and then it gets paid. But I understand that, I'm sure there may be some new laws or PFMA or whatever that comes across and people get confused. But I really still don't understand how an authority can refuse to pay 5 million rand that it owes just because the claim has got 1.5 million more. You refuse this 500 million to pay them. You want that to be corrected, that extra 1 million that you are not agreeing. Then you want it to be sorted out first. And usually when that kind of a thing happens, is that we refuse to pay, keep the invoice in the interim, until the owner wants his money. When he finds that, no, why am I not getting paid? And when he starts phoning, is then that is told that no, your invoice is not correct. In your case, what are the challenges?
We have some of those challenges as well, Chair, but in terms of the current system, we issue orders, and that's in order to make sure that we control our budget. So we issue an order for 100 rand. So when we get an invoice, that invoice amount should talk to the order amount. That's where the difference is coming. If it's not the same, then you have problems. The system will reject that payment when it goes through to BAS. Then it becomes a system problem, and it hangs in your suspense account, then you refer it back. But we don't keep the invoices checked. So if you get the invoice and you check it on the system, you see there's a difference, in trying to resolve that issue. But there are variations to this as well. So I can issue one order for 100 rand and it will allow for 10 payments of 10 rands each. So then I say I have 10 payments and the 10th payment should go through smoothly. So that's not our most significant problem. There's an issue about safety nets. If any payments more than 1 million rand goes and hit against safety net, which is a system run by National Treasury, where they check and make sure that the banking details of a recipient is correct. Now, if there's a change in banking details between the date of placement of an order and the date of payment, that payment will reject. It will say it's now somebody else's bank account or we don't recognize this bank account. So that's a problem, Jen. But from our perspective, there's a bigger issue with budgets. People moving budgets after making commitments, but we're trying to address those.
Yeah, I'm sure DG is listening.
Yeah.
That so we have delegated the system to manage the system itself, and then the system creates problem and actually oppose the political or a policy position. A policy position. The system is actually countering it. Because surely if a service provider submits a some sort of a claim, then is the system that rejects. Then there's going to be a crisis very soon.
I'm not sure at times we're sitting on this thing to say, we talk like we've got a decentralized system in government, but we've got a centralized one. That decision which I'm supposed to be taking as a DG of Home Affairs, but I'm not. If I want to procure this thing, I know that this thing is 5 rand, I can go and procure. I can't. It must go to a treasury, there's a database sitting there. You cannot do anything until you follow that. I am not paying suppliers as like I'm running my business. I just go and pay myself, as you are saying. That here is my invoice, I just pay, I take a decision, I do it. No, I'm capturing, but somebody at the back, who is not the department, is the one who's actually taking the decision. And then when those decisions taken, there is that issue. Secondly, what now also makes people to be very afraid, Auditor General comes, when they argue the issue of irregular. You will make a mistake. That's why we're saying, Chair, how can this thing doesn't have a scale to say, in order for you to do this, you need to have 100 steps, but you missed one. We have done 99 correct. Chairperson, it doesn't say 5% of the 5 million is irregular. It says 5 million is irregular. So if now I sit, I do exactly what you were saying, and say, I will just take up this, I leave this, at least I've paid this thing, I'm fine. But when that thing is declared now irregular, it declares the whole amount. You come with a billion rand of irregular. When you try and ask, what this thing which we have done which is wrong? You say, there was one thing which is so small that it makes these issues like that. So that's why they were still worried. You remember that when the procurement was decentralized at the point, it was because of this delivery. Now we've changed now. It's starting now to go back to be centralized. I know now that there was a tender for, these tenders which have been sitting with Treasury, now send it back to us. Travel. They says, no, don't go and do a travel tender yourself. All that thing is centralized at Treasury for the entire public service. And before I was going to a tender, I appoint my service provider, manages my travel. Now, they've been sitting with that. I understand now they again send it back and now to the departments. So there are also those issues at the end. But it's just that when you have these questions asked, you are not carrying them and say, no, respond on this one. At the point, who did not pay is a Home Affairs. Who did not do this now? So I can't go even now. Once we want to start that, it's going to be look like now you are defensive now. I'm asking you, don't tell me about treasurer. You are the accounting officer. So there are those, but at the same time they were saying we need to really work. We don't want other issues which are not those. So then I've got other issues where people just keep the invoices and all that, want to deal with those.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me just explain a few issues relating to the repositioning of Home Affairs. Chair, one of the critical things that we said we had to sit down and understand is that the needs of our clients as Home Affairs are changing on a regular basis, where they expect to get services in an efficient, fast, you know, in a convenient way. So we then had to ask ourselves that the existing mandate of Home Affairs as it currently defined, which is obviously ensuring that we offer civic services and immigration for development, has not been carried out fully in a manner that it's supposed to be done. And there are certain reasons why that has not been done. So we then had to sit down and say, what needs to be done for us to be able to effectively carry that mandate? And we then came up with the repositioning of Home Affairs in order for us to do that. Because, Chair, we argue that there is no blueprint of public service that says you must carry your service in an inefficient way. Therefore, that's why then in the document saying that we need a Home Affairs legislation that will enable us to be able to work efficiently, that will enable us to eradicate some of the dependencies that we currently have. I mean, we sometimes are restricted in getting efficient systems. We sometimes restricted in getting efficient premises for us to be able to operate from, because we depending on either the DPW or either the CITAS network that need to be provided to us. So really, the issue for us is also talking about the constraint of the public purse. We're saying that we're sitting with data that we can convert into revenue. That's why the DG was making reference to that. So really, the issue of the repositioning is to see how do we make Home Affairs to be more efficient, to be more responsive to citizens, to tailor-make the services so that the public can get the services. But also what is more critical is how to secure our system to ensure that every person who is in the national population register deserves to be there. So that can be only delivered if the Department of Home Affairs is repositioned to be a secure department. When we register birth, we do it. That's why we're insisting on registering birth within 30 days, because that is a period where a child is still young, is still with the mother, not when somebody is 18 years and we can no longer verify the parents that whether they are living or not. So those services, we want them to make them mandatory. We want to ensure that the footprint in hospitals is increased so that we are able to catch those areas and register actually 100% of births. In that, that's how we're going to be securing our system and securing the Department of Home Affairs. So, Chair, I think the most critical thing is to say, how do we then raise the revenue to be able to fulfill our mandate as it currently stands? That is why the repositioning concept was then developed, and we're taking that forward in that manner. So now the next step that we are doing, we're going to be releasing a public discussion document, and in the meantime also starting to draft a white paper, which will result into the new Home Affairs legislation. And we envisage that all the employees of Home Affairs will be employed under the Home Affairs legislation, as it happens with the SAPS, with correctional services, because their employees are employed under it. I mean, currently we face with a situation where we want to extend even the services over the weekends. We can't do that because of certain restrictions that are currently in the public service there. So that's basically what we're trying to do with the repositioning of the Department of Home Affairs, because we do believe that we can actually offer services 7 days a week if we are able to raise enough revenue and also have a legislation that enables us to do that.
Okay.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Maybe based on what Tulan was saying and the DG earlier, if Honorable Chair, the department is valued as all of us agree, I'm not sure if we should be dealing with such challenges of asking for resources as a department. And I think that's where the challenge is the concept and understanding of what is the value of Home Affairs, particularly in the world where currently even elections, governments are facing challenges of this because citizens are responding France is one of those, dealing with immigration as a focal point. So servicing and resourcing Home Affairs is a critical thing that I would wish that now that our portfolio committee in particular does understand, but should be able to then see how generally up to who the funders resources are made available so that Home Affairs can be the bedrock of government security and identity management. Without that, we'll continue to guess whether it's for planning purposes by government, whether it's for interventions within the issue of immigration, free movement of people, without knowing your citizens are going to have a problem. So, hence the issue of the birth registration has become so critical in this country, because in the past, majority were marginalized. In fact, there was not even a need to register them because they belong to Bantustan in the eyes of the apartheid architecture. So this figure of why the number is used, I will be brief, Chair, because DG did explain that if we were to use percentages, you will be asked, it's a percentage of what? And therefore, with the campaign to have late registration of birth ended, the only way to do that was to look at the traditional figures we have from states, A, from our records of how many births are registered and how many are registered within 30 days and how many outside of 30 days. So this number is then based on a way of scientific data that let us rather target. If states say it's 1 million, our records say it's 1 million births, if we move towards 750,000, we will be closer to having all births. Otherwise, we could have made a very easy target, Chair. That would have said, change policy and just say all births must be registered within 30 days, within 60 days. You know, if you do that, already you'd be very close to 1 million. But we will then be losing critical citizens who will become invisible, and nobody will know where they are, and the baby will be lost. So that is the reason why, Honorable Chair, the number was preferred so that we can follow it properly and see whether we're getting to the million. The next issue was why are we Eastern Cape having a target that is higher? No, the target for Eastern Cape is not higher than others. So when we looked at the trends of births registered throughout the country, you will see that Eastern Cape, their target is just at 94,000, but Gauteng is at 174,000. Because we look at population dynamics and the population size, and that is why if you look at KZN, is 127. And if we were to look at the rating of how many citizens in each of these provinces as rated by SSA, it will show that we are following a correct trend. But we also then had to do the analysis in terms of births that we as a department have been registering over the past 3 years. And it is clear that this is the range within which birth occurrence and registration happens in the Eastern Cape. So KwaZulu-Natal, you look at Limpopo and Eastern Cape, their targets are almost similar. So Western Cape is the one that might seem to have a lower target, but it's because both population-wise and geographic spread, they are not the same with Eastern Cape. So that is why they are then higher than that. So the question relating to resources then, why are we able to register these births, all of them? The target is in 200%, but because we don't have people in offices, Honorable Chair, who can do registration after hours, let's never mind the weekend and the holidays, just after hours between 4 and 7, which is what we are testing now by robbing Peter to pay Paul, taking more staff out and then creating maybe a longer queue, a waiting period, so that there is staff in the offices. You will see that the number of births then gets higher, that is registered, within 30 days. Otherwise, we should be saying only BES must be restarted within 60 days. That is what the other countries are saying when they talk about completeness and timeliness of BES registration. It's because they've got a longer stretch-out period. We don't. For instance, in Botswana, they would say it should be within 60 days or 90 days. In Namibia, same thing. We shorten the period because of understanding the agency of why BES must restart immediately, not even 30 days. 30 days is a grace period. It should be immediately, as soon as a child is born, be registered before leaving the hospital. But capacity doesn't allow us, hence the 30 days, to allow you to have an abortion to go there. Chairperson, on the issue of maybe the bigger issue you raised about the blocked IDs, I accept the challenge that you are giving us. I think, DG, maybe what we need, because the essence of this thing is about people not knowing whether they are blocked or not until they go to the office. And that is where the chairperson has been quite... We have done the audit of how many people are blocked. What we can do, maybe, DG, is to look at, maybe like we did with all the duplicate IDs. We advertise them like matrix, and we publish and say the following people must be aware that their ID numbers are blocked. We do not publish the ID number, but we publish the date of birth and what we have, and we call them to come forward. But Honorable Chair, you will know that most of them will not necessarily come forward, because they've told us clearly, both in Nkomazi, Matatiele, and somewhere along Kwangwanase and Mkanyakude. These people are saying it's not that we want to have our IDs taken away from us. We want to keep this ID, but you must know we are not South African. So, because of access to resources that the ID gives, because we ask them, those that we have met, now that we know you are not South African, why do you still want a South African ID? And then the others, particularly in the Nkomazi area, they told us clearly that these IDs were given to them by the first president of the country. We came there, he promised them these IDs together with Mr. de Klerk. So now we are taking it, yet we are the democratic government. But we told them that we need to clean our population register. These countries were given even during the period of Bab Mandima, they were given exemptions to choose to take citizenship or not. So it's not that government was insensitive at the time, noting that most of them had been in the country for years, were then given exemptions, two exemptions. Mozambicans, in fact, they had two bites of the same cake, because it was when it was SADC as a whole, and then specifically a special situation for Mozambicans. So they still, those decided to be reluctant to come forth. So that is where the challenge is, but maybe to address the concern then is to just see how we can maybe advertise, if budget allows, because by advertising is a lot of money. We had not budgeted for that activity, but it's to see how we can best communicate and ask them to come forth, but they will understand also that there will be consequences, because if you're not South African, the law is clear that if you got these IDs through fraudulent means, unless there is amnesty, we need to arrest you, because you obtained fraudulently. And people must know acquiring South African documents fraudulently is a crime. So the last thing maybe is, with the Department of Health, there is an agreement, Honorable Chair, for us to have offices where possible, depending on the size of the hospital. But it would the only problem is that as they expand, they have resources. We can't agree as a department to say open an office and then it remains a white elephant, because they need space. That is what they come back to us and say, we need space. Until you have resources, that is people, to deploy there, you rather come and collect and go and capture in the office through the roving official.
Because if they give us space but we can't have someone permanently there, they say they need that space. That's a challenge we've been having with them. But we have that agreement that wherever possible and we can deploy, we rated hospitals according to high bed volumes, that is 5,000 and above per month and per year. And then we said, sorry, per year. And then we rated them those between 3,000 and 5,000 to say, where can we have permanent officials? But the problem is just the issue of the resources that we don't have. On advertising or on marketing and creating awareness, we accept, Honorable Chair, that we've done a lot, but maybe we still need to do a lot. We'll continue to do the best we can to advertise this. The only problem we had is what the portfolio committee also had raised was if we were to introduce penalties which are catered for in the law. We have consulted with the Treasury. They gave us their recommendation in terms of what could be the cost for failure to register within 60 days, within 90 days. Mm. But the problem was that those people might go underground and never register PES, or they'll say, I don't have money. So the question was, is the chicken and egg situation scenario? Do you say, if you don't register within 30 days, you must pay 200 rand, the person says, I don't have, it becomes 90 days, we say 500 rand, it doesn't happen. Then this person will never come to register the baby. That was the fear department had about penalties at this stage for people who will not register PES. So the issue is how soon we can introduce penalties and then deal with maybe the consequences, or we introduce incentives. But what incentive you can have other than to say it is a civil responsibility to register PES? Really, sometimes we try too hard to say to people, don't stay in a sinkhole area. And then they stay. Mm-hmm. And then when the ground sinks, then they blame government. Mm. And because they are not taking responsibility. Birth registration is a responsibility of the parent. It's a right of the child. And awareness must be around that first to change the mindset of citizens. And then we can be able to deal with that issue. But marketing is done. Various strategies are in place, even advertisement. But we do need that support that says failure to register within 30 days is a criminal offense. Please make sure you register birth within 30 days. But those are the challenges we currently have. Honorable Chair, I hope I've tried not to waste your time, but to cover as much as we can, unless I left something quite significant. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
We left almost all the questions we asked him. Kekana, I wanted to say something before. Do you still have that burning issue? Remember that you asked the issue of the 70%. You wanted clarity. You said after you got the clarity, you wanted to come back. The 70% thing, you are now settled.
Yeah, I'm
congratulations for being settled. Honorable Raputi.
Yeah, no, Chair. I didn't know that if a child is not registered, can be able to get some grants. And that is where we should really close the tabs. Because I think it's very irresponsible. You know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So somewhere, somehow, DG, this thing must be done like yesterday. And even the issue of education, how can you really want to access some of the services but you don't want to do a simple thing of registering the child? But you didn't answer on the issue of foreigners. You know, you see how my hair is. This lady was telling me that she's got twins, she's from Ghana. She was saying that, the hospital was so nice. I delivered twins there. But she's a foreigner. So I'm just asking myself, such beautiful twins, that is this child not registered? What about foreigners? I thank you.
Well, I think the department must be encouraged to continue to speak to her. the department must be encouraged to continue to speak to the Department of Basic Education until you get some of those policy issues sorted out and agreed, and appreciate the consequences of any decisions about them, the better. And Makenye, we are now in charge now of determining when we are finished here ourselves. This side, yeah, sure.
Okay. Thanks, that's the, I don't. Maybe it's a comment, not a question per se. But if this is done, yes, I'm happy. When you talk about advertisement, you talk about the awareness. Maybe it's because I'm a professional nurse, but my question is, as we are saying on the NHI process, we want an engineering of the primary health care. Because not all the children are born in hospitals. They are even born in the clinics. And especially that almost all those women, even those who go to the hospital for delivery, they start on the antenatal clinic. My question is maybe, or if you haven't done so, is just an advice. If you can go, because when they are attending antenatal clinics there, they get education on what to do, the do's and don'ts. So if we can have a posters wherever in the clinics that talks to this issue, I think that also can help in the awareness, because those women, when they are there, they are being addressed by nurses there about what to do. They can easily catch the issue of this registration of births. Just maybe if you have done so in your awareness, I could be happy. Because that's where, because when we talk about advertisement, I don't want us to talk about advertisement, because some of our people, some are illiterate, and most of them because of low socioeconomic problems. Some of them don't even have something to buy a paper to hear the advertisement through the papers. What they need somebody to come to them and explain to them. And then now you're sort of staffed in hospitals. I think it will be better for you to have pamphlets in the clinics, or to have something on the walls that talks to the issue, even if in any language, so that they understand this talking about the criminality of the issue. Thank you, Chairperson. But
okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And you still want to add? Proceed.
Okay. Can I have two questions? Just two small questions.
I've said proceed.
Yes. Okay. Just a comment, that one. On the sports budget analysis, noting that you told us about the reduction, or the Treasury took a decision to reduce compensation of employees, and that also led to the department putting hold the filling of vacant posts, which leads to understaffing, and that it has an impact on the safeguarding of the borders. Now, I just want to check now, look, what is your taking in this? Can you give clarity now? What is your taking on this issue? Is it still the same that, I understand Chairperson even wrote a letter sometime last year to Treasury putting his concern about the unhappiness, putting unhappiness about this situation. Just want to check how far is that with the Treasury on your part, not on our part per se, as the Chairperson has also made inroads in the issue. And lastly, you are talking about this challenge on asylum seekers, this challenge you talked about on the collections and responses. Now, I'm concerned on challenge with regard to asylum seekers management. What is your taking, as I haven't seen it on your slide that talks to this critical challenge, the concern about management, because you said in the also in the, according to the structure of the budget review, asylum seekers experience a decline in nominal and real. So that is a challenge also, to my understanding, because if we say we want to manage the asylum seekers, we want to improve the asylum seekers management. What is your taking on the issue? Because I don't even see it here. Maybe it's an omission. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank
you. Sure. I'm partly covered by the latter speaker got issue the post. You remember I asked about those 687 posts you wrote a letter about.
I wanted to emphasize that maybe we should take a serious decision to make sure that this matter is followed very seriously. Because if you check on economic transformation and this radical economic transformation, we need also to think about the rate of unemployment. And as the leading party in this country, we must have a problem with such things. We must be serious and we must pursue them. Please, maybe Chair, with the DG, then you can make sure that you follow up this matter again. And I'm very thankful because of you have already dealing with it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that last week we wrote a letter to ask Treasury what is their position, because the lady was supposed to go and inform them about our concerns, and then we said that we no longer want that lady, we want somebody that we can debate and discuss and agree on things, because the lady declared that she's just a microphone. She's just coming to capture what is happening. She can't take decisions. That was the problem. Can we give then roughly about 3 minutes and whatever it can be responded to? And but I mean the question of the posters, Honorable Kane. These officials here, we have told them many times, many moons ago, that they must go to the clinic because our ladies there, they actually attend on a monthly basis until a particular period then when they have to go and deliver, and they are receiving that, exactly what you have said. We have told them long ago. I think the only thing is that you must just make sure that it gets through the ear and stay in the between the 2 years. That's the only thing we can say. All what you need there is just big posters that can be handed at the clinic, and then the flyers that can be handed over to the individual as and when they receive this this education. And some of them even go to fitness exercises before they are attended at the clinic. They arrive at a particular time, then they are taken through certain exercises, and then from there, then now they start looking at their barber wear as well, gala, filling in those clinic cards and all those things. That is the time that we must intervene as Home Affairs to make sure that they know what is expected of them on that last good day. Okay, proceed.
I will take the one off there. This issue of asylum seeker. You know, Chair, today Home Affairs is in the Constitutional Court as we speak now, because of how people view this matter, that it is a human rights issue. You know why we're in the Constitutional Court is that lawyers for human rights are saying, no, when we arrest an illegal immigrant, we must follow the same process of a person who has been arrested for a criminal issue. You must arrest, and now you can't deport that person before you take that person through a court process. So that's why now we're putting this thing on there, on that white paper, to say our other countries are doing it. You deal with the people before they set foot in your country. You let them to come inside, you are already late. That's why other countries have got camps, and put people in the camp, they deal with them, and then before they sojourn in their country. Because once you do that, it becomes more problematic. But as South Africa, in fact, other countries even do what they call screening. Screening means you come in, they look at your case, if they're not happy, you go. But what is the South African one? You come to a border, I give you Section 23, which says, you walk at your own to go to the refugee reception office. At your own. So if I decided not to go, who's going to get me and where? And then after that it says, once now you get there, I cannot deal with your case today, which is always impossible. Give me section 22, which says I must go everywhere. And it says that section 22, you can work, you can start, you can do a business. And then after that, you wait enough for the period which you said. That's like we are saying now, if we look at this white paper that we're trying to deal with it, we said this thing, we need to change certain things. We did sign these conventions, Zabo UN conventions and OAU and all that. But at that time, we were really, really not even a child at a crawling stage. We were at that point, we were taking everything for granted. But now, with the 22 years, it should be able to show us that, well, no, let's not take things for granted. And other democracies, which are far older than us, are not doing as we do. So now we need to look. So that's why again, in that position paper, needs to look at this thing. That's why we're even saying, which might not people not understand, might say, no, this thing is too costly. You say, if I can have a processing center, I am coming here, I'm a refugee. I says, no, I'm an asylum seeker. I say, no, before I determine your case, I will give you the same grant, which is what I'm giving to the national. Yes, it's 1,500. But I will deal with your issue within 3 months. I spend 4,500, you are gone. Rather than saying, I let you to come in, how much do I spend to you? Foreign child, this, you are here in the country for 20 years. Is far above those amounts. But it's not going to be easy, it's the issues of debate. So let me not take time. I wanted just to explain this issue of asylum seeker. Then, Mr.
I wanted to refuse from them to speak now.
Okay.
I think we have gone beyond time. I'm sure then that there should be pressures on other people now. I really wanted to really appreciate the responses that we have received. I think without any response, I think Jesse should be agreeing that he needs to go and put posters and make material available there at the clinic. And keep engaging the Department of Health, and then also engage the Department of Education on issues of the requirements for registering children at grade R, and make them appreciate the consequences of not doing that. And then you should be able to come, you know. Also appreciate the members, you know, for staying a little bit longer here, and. Because I'm sure now we are almost 10 minutes beyond. You must still go and eat before you go to the house. I think let's call it a day. We have done a lot today, and we will meet again sometime in future, which I'm not sure when is that. And then, but while you are away, look after yourselves. Just to ensure that when we are told that we are coming back here, then we must still be together. We mustn't come here in pieces, having lost an eye, an ear, a leg, and all sorts of things. So thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
I'm waiting for you to say you're